This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport and me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. Of course, we're now into our Sunday night fan show specials. And of course, first up, as always, at 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening, it is the AFC Wimbledon fan show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the boys from the 9 Years podcast, Nick Draper, and joined for the first time with me, I should say, Stuart Deakins. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. I like your tracksuit. It's very good.
Yeah, I tried to brighten the mood up a little bit, so... Yeah, a bit of light blue doesn't harm.
Well, speaking of brightening the mood, fellas, this hour is going to be a tumultuous hour, maybe. I don't know. Of course, there has been news this week, kind of. Not really from the club. We haven't heard too much of what's going on. No game, of course, this weekend. We'll have to wait until next weekend for the action. But I think, fellas, I'm going to leave the floor to you, Nick.
Wow. Well, first of all, I think I have to say... that Stu's tracksuit that you've just referenced there is now on sale in the club shop for, like, I think they're going at £800 a tracksuit.
I was going to say, get down there quick. Yeah. Everybody buy one.
Try and get as much cash as you can from the club at the moment. We got a tweet just before we came on here asking, I think Gary Fletcher was asking us to be try and add a little bit of positivity. Yeah. I'm going to try, Gary. I'm really struggling. Saying to Stu when we got here, I'm so deflated... probably sense it just in me at the moment. I'm just like, I think after all the statement that came out on Monday that said we're £11 million short, I think that's £1 million for every manager Watford have had in the last 3 months. The statement came out and there was initially all the emotions that go with that and everything like that. You get the highs and the lows and the ups and downs and you think, adrenaline gets you through the week, and then it comes a point where the realization sets in, you just crash.
Yeah, it's been a long week, hasn't it? I think a lot of reading on social media, trying to find out some truth as well, isn't it? I think I think the papers that were released by the Don's Trust board on Monday now, wasn't it? It feels like a long week, as they say, a long week in football. But it's just trying to digest it all. And as I say, there's a lot of questions from that we sort of need to get answers for. And we run into, we've got Monday week, we've got the Don's Trust board meeting, or Don's Trust meeting at the club, and I think that's going to be well... attended, and it's going to be an interesting night. There's a lot of information we need to know before we make a decision, which is probably one of the biggest decisions that we're probably making in a long time.
The biggest decision we've ever made, I would have thought.
So the statement itself, I mean, it was a three-pronged statement, I suppose you could say, right? They mentioned the options that we now have, that we want to open dialogue with members on. I'm sure you've gone over this on your own podcast, of course, about the statement. And then another... not a statement as such, but a New Stadium Your Questions article came out from the club as well, and they understand that there are many questions. I think, over 50 questions that have been raised about this. Where do you guys stand at the moment in terms of transparency between yourself and the club? Stuart?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I think the problem is that we've sort of... the stadium's been on the go for ages now, isn't it, in terms of when Merton Council identified the site. And I think it's just a case now that... now that the people on site building the stand, or the ground, you sort of get really excited. But then the transparency is that we're £11 million short, and that sort of deflates. It's really like the worst Christmas present you could get. Because I don't know about Nick, but I've been really excited about it. And now you're looking at the options, going, actually, we're £11 million short, and we've got to make some serious decisions because the club has been built up on fan ownership and fan run. But Nick and I have discussed this many times through the years. I mean, once you got back into the league, how far can fan ownership go? Because the money's crazy. Even in League One, budget wise, we're nowhere near
£11 million.
It's a lot of money. Not a lot of money to Watford in terms of manager and that sort of side. But you know what I mean. £11 million in a Premiership is what, I don't know, players earn that in a year, don't they? Mm. But it's a lot of money in League One. And I think if we're going to give up the fan ownership, or we're going to, there's talk about a 51% the Don's Trust board to keep, that's fine. But then who are the investors? Who are the owners? And it changes dynamics. But transparency-wise, £11 million to be told on a Monday when you're going into 2020 when the ground was going to be open, yeah, it's a bit tough to take.
Mm. I mean, it's right. We've been looking for this. I mean, the last, how long do we want to say? 2 seasons? Some people will argue even more. Say 2.5 seasons. However much you want to say, has been a real slog. But all the time we've had this, we're going home, we're getting a stage in Wimbledon, we've got this all in the back, and everything's like, you're going to have these times where it's not as much fun and the football's not as great and things are a little bit difficult, but the end result is going to be so good. We can't wait for it to happen. And all of a sudden, that's in jeopardy because, as Stu says, realistically, the only way out of this mess is to get someone to pump in money. We don't know how much of a percentage of the club they'll want to take for that money. I can't believe it's going to be anything less than 50%. Mm. A lot of people are talking about the idea that, yes, begrudgingly, they will accept selling voting rights in the club currently. So the Dons Trust should have greater than 75%. And clearly, investors that have been spoken to, whoever they are, have discussed getting more than the 25% that would be on offer. I can't imagine when you're talking about that amount of money that they will want anything less than 50%. And I think that's the big piece of information that we need before we can make any further decisions. Realistically, there might be other options out there. People have come forward. There might be people that have suddenly gone, oh, do you know what? Actually, I can make things work doing this, that and the other, and I'll be quite happy to donate that money, or I can come to some other reason. We don't know what it is. Somebody might say, I can put you this amount of millions and that will reduce the amount of loan that you need to take out, which has become more realistic. I don't know. But as it stands, the options on the table, if you were to ask me which one which option would you take? Well, in an ideal world, none of the above. Pragmatically, realistically, external investment, you kind of feel like at this stage it's the only way out, but it's also not the only way out because it's got to get past a restricted action vote, which it's just never going to get past in the timescales available. I mean, miracles do happen, but I personally can't see it and there's so many if, buts and maybes. The timescale we've been told is we need to assure the contractors by January, an unspecific date in January. Like I said, this could be January the 1st, this could be January the 31st. Unless they are going to be nice to us and extend that a little bit longer to give us a bit more time to get these restricted action votes through, we don't know. There's so many unanswered questions at the moment in time.
So many unanswered questions. 9th of December, I believe, is the date that they're saying they're going to come out and answer all these questions in that open letter that were posted to the club.
Yeah, that's the SGM. It was the AGM. It's been changed to an SGM to deal with this. There is two resolutions. There's a resolution about Wally Downs on the agenda, which I will tell you what, whichever fans put that motion forward, I think if there's a possibility to ask if we can just postpone that one for the time being, I think it's probably worthwhile because I don't think many people are going to be wanting to 2 o'clock in the morning be discussing Wally Downs.
It'll be a long
at that
evening.
Moment in time. It is going to be a long evening. It's an opening sort of discussion, face to face kind of thing. It's a movable feast. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 7 days? We could have something come out the woodwork in the next couple of days and that changes everything. We just don't know.
I have to say that in terms of the statement, I've not seen a statement like that from a club before. And I know that AFC Wimbledon is not like any other club and it's run very differently and it's brilliant in that way. But just to read out a couple of the bits, you know, while we are totally committed to completing the project, we are also about to reach a point of no return. For me, really, really strong words. And the fact that they're then mentioning the ground itself, you know, we're unable to make that commitment as things stand. Because of unforeseen planning delays and increased building costs, we need to raise the further 11 million that we've spoken about already. We want the stadium to be as we all want it to be, with income generating conference and banqueting facilities, an additional 5,000 covered seats through semi-permanent stands and a showpiece fan zone, etc., etc. Is this also, and I could be way off here, is this a bit of gross mismanagement on the part of the planning delays and increased building costs? Why have we got to this stage where we didn't know how much we were going to need?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, isn't there? You know, you're right, the club statement is basically a sales pitch for option three.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're saying. You know, it's like, I think there's a lot, it's difficult. The Dons Trust board changes, obviously, because they can have a 2-year stint, and then there's loads of people that have been on the board since. But yeah, you sort of like feel now there's a lot of answers, but actually there's really no time to do that on that sort of side. I think the bottom line is we basically tried to build a ground we couldn't afford. That's the bottom line of it. You know, we're £11 million short now. So did we try to, you know, did we go too big? Did we never had an option of go, do you want this massive, you know, 20,000 seat of a stadium? There'll be 11,000 originally, that was the idea. Or do you want a mid-size or do you want a better King's Meadow? We never really got that choice. So I think the problem I've got is I think we've just gone, our eyes are too big for our belly, if I'm being truthful. And now we're in a situation where if we don't get investment, we could have a 4,000 seater stand. That's crazy. You know, going back to Plough Lane was about the dream, getting back to home, you know, building. But we could go back home without no hospitality, no way of making any additional money. King's Meadow is difficult at the moment at best of times. But I think the thing you got with the Don's Trust board now is there's no real, I would say whoever's attending on the 9th of December, if we're going to have a why did you lead us down a merry dance now, I think that's going to get us nowhere. I think we now need to come together, see what the options are and go from there.
In terms of that dream of Plough Lane, you said, you know, our eyes were slightly bigger than our belly. Great way of putting it there. Do you think that the dream as well to fans was maybe pitched in a way that, you know, it's great, we're going to go back to our spiritual home, this is lovely, and maybe from the fans' perspective as well, you perhaps didn't look into the deeper meaning of what that would then entail?
I don't think we ever presented it, to be truthful. I don't, right. You know, and maybe that's our fault as owners, you know, because we are owners. Maybe that's our fault we didn't question it enough. One of the things I've said to Nick along the way of it, we've gone through non-league, you know, 9 years to get back into the league, and we never really questioned the Don's Trust board or even that fact, the football club board. We never questioned them because everything that went well. It's only really now since getting into League One that we've questioned, does fan ownership work? How far can we go? You know, it's been no fun watching football in League One. It's a very tough league to do that. But we never questioned it. We never questioned it. So maybe, I'm not saying it's our fault, but I think everyone has to take ownership with it, because we should have asked some questions earlier on. And I said to Nick again on the way in September, we agreed to have an £11 million loan. Realistically, we should have gone in and thought, 11 million quid, that's a lot of money. No one's going to give you that money for nothing. Now, the interest rates are astronomical. So I think we're used to doing the miracles, we're used to doing the things that other clubs can't do, but some point along the line, you have to go, how far can you go?
This is quite ironic as well, whether to use that word or not, Nick, and that you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about clubs going as far as they possibly could. And I'm not saying that this is the ceiling for AFC Wimbledon at all. That's not what I'm saying. But it kind of fits into that conversation where you were saying, what are the hopes and dreams ultimately for these clubs?
Yeah. I mean, I think trying to apply it to our situation, it's slightly different. We've said all along that if we were to get a stadium of our own, a bigger stadium in Wimbledon, that was when the club can really start to motor. And I think because naturally and sustainably we had in the stadium an avenue to raise finance that we could put back into the club and could help us build and go on from there. So I don't think it's a difficult one, because on the one hand I'm saying that I don't think it was ever an unreasonable or an unrealistic expectation of getting this stadium and going from there. I think what we found is a couple of things. One is that we're at a point now where, or we were at a point when the stadium came up, we were a League Two side at the time, when essentially the plot of land that we've got fell into our laps. That's what happened. So we as fans, we all went down, I can't remember what year it was, 2009, 2010, we all went down to a huge meeting. We voted against proposals that were going to stop us from looking at Wimbledon as a future way of building the club. The football club board and members of the Don's Trust board, I can't remember at the time exactly who was leading on that one, didn't think that Wimbledon or Merton was ever going to happen. It was an unrealistic aim to get a stadium in there. So they were going to push everything towards Kingston, stay at King's Meadow, redevelop King's Meadow as much as we can, try and build a fan base around Kingston as opposed to Wimbledon, all sorts of things that sort of went against the whole point of setting a club called AFC Wimbledon. So we actually did say, look, no, let's ignore King's Meadow. Let's get it to where we need it to be, but we don't want to go above and beyond that, because that money could be saved for a stadium in Wimbledon. And then Merton put out a call for sites. Greyhound Stadium came up. Great, there it was, custom made. We didn't have to do any work for it, didn't have to do any great searching for it. It literally fell into our laps. And why wouldn't you? Why, like, we would have been insane not to have gone for that. I think then what happened is we were all happy to go with that. I see no reason at that stage why there'd be any red flags about doing this whatsoever. That's what we should have done. It was the right thing to do. Of course it was. I think what happened in the initial stages was that I think we got some bad advice. I think we got some bad advice in terms of what was possible, what we could do. I think we started to believe that what we could achieve on a smaller amount of funding was presented to us, and we accepted it. We didn't question it. We didn't ask any questions either when that was presented to us as fans, because why would you? We trust what was being told to us. We have no reason to believe anyone would be lying. And I don't think anyone lied. I just think people were badly advised. And I've got the back in two ticks document in front of me, which went back to the idea of agreeing the first time we had to go through a restricted action to agree to leave King's Meadow to go to build the stadium in Wimbledon. And it says it here. £3 to 7 million would be needed to raise above, on top of what was already money we had from Chelsea for selling the ground and things like that. And that's just skyrocketed. Mm. And parts of that you couldn't see coming. The delay that we had in the, I've totally forgot the name of it off the top of my head, but Boris Johnson didn't wave through the planning application he sent. He stalled it until after the, after the general election. That stuffed us up a little bit. But from there, I don't know what's happened, to be honest with you. We've had changes in what we could afford, changes in the design, change of contractor, which arguably could have been our fault. We don't know. Lots of things that happened. Some things out of our control. I think timelines-wise, I think people would have known this issue was going to be an issue probably a lot sooner than it came up. If you were to look ahead, you could probably see it coming. £7 million was what we put in for the crowdfunding scheme. At that point, when you're putting together a crowdfunding scheme and you're thinking, let's put £7 million on that as a amount of money to raise, surely red flags are going, thinking that's never going to happen. We're never going to hit anywhere near that. I mean, what did we raise to buy King's Meadow in the first place? We got to some. We raised about £3 million.
Yeah, it was about that. Yeah, about £3 million.
Yeah, to do that once is insane. And that was with a share issue involved as well, I think. Shares in AFCW PLC sold in that to get that over the line. To do it twice, I remember at the time, but I think we said on the podcast, we had press releases coming out saying, well, that equates to, I don't know, something manageable per fan that attended the Wembley League Two playoff final. I think we were picking numbers from the sky, to be honest with you. And I think we needed to sort of perhaps 12 months, if not further, think about how we're going to get this over the line.
Yep, indeed. Well, great to hear from you guys. We've got about 40 minutes to go. I'm sure there's plenty more to come. We've got your tweets coming in. We will read those out very shortly. And of course, if you want to join the debate, speak to the guys, both Nick and Stuart here waiting to speak to you. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. It's the AFC Women and Fan Show here on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the 9 Years podcast. It's a tricky hour. It's been a tricky week for the boys. You just said off air there, Stuart, that it's been tough. Mm. Very arduous.
Yeah, I think it's just generally, it didn't come out of the blue. We all know people at the club, and I'd heard some rumours that it wasn't going well, but I didn't think going well was going to be this. It's sort of, in a way, it's really weird. We were talking on the podcast this week, and I forgot we won a game against Gillingham, if I'm being truthful. Mm. It feels like a really long week, and getting through that game was really was tough, because Gillingham were all over us, and we were resilient, and we got our win. But it's been a tough week. I think it's just generally that this is something that could split the fan base. You know, that's the problem with it. You know, we laugh about Brexit and not we talk too much about that, but that split, you know, families. But this could do the same with Wimbledon fans, because people don't want to sell out and they call it a sellout. And, you know, on social media, I've seen people going, well, I'd rather just go back into non-league and be mm-hmm. like we were before. But that's not going to happen, because when we went through the leagues, we were on a crest of a wave. It was a journey. I loved the journey. I don't want to go back there. You know, I'm not fine. I've been to Chelmsford and Margate midweek and some places that I don't really want to return. I enjoyed the journey, but I don't want to go there. And I don't want to go there in terms of, I feel, if we don't get external investment, we are literally just, the club will die a very slow death, if I've been truthful. Mm. And I don't really want to see that. I'll still go, because I've been going 30 years, but I don't want to sign up to go back down to non-league. It's not going to be the journey we had going back in 2002.
Crikey. Okay, well, fellas, you put a poll out before coming on air through your Twitter handle at 9 Years Podcast, and we're going to read the results of that now. It was initially the options presented in the club statement. You asked fans, listeners, to vote on what was the most appealing to them. One, pray for a loan. Two, the rudimentary 4 grand stand. And three, investment for votes. Nick?
Yeah, I mean... So... In order for option three to come to fruition in real life, when a vote is eventually taken, which we assume is what's going to happen, because actually we don't actually know if that's actually going to happen. We have no idea what the vote's going to be, if it ever comes or not, do we? Let's be fair.
No, it won't be on the 9th, we know that.
No, it won't be on the 9th, but I mean, it could be. But anyway, for external investment to be accepted and percentage of voting rights to be sold, we'd need 75% of... 50% of the Dons Trust membership to vote in favour of it. It's all very complex. And then that 75% of the 50% has to be 40% of the total membership.
Wow.
On this indicative vote, option three, exactly. This is why, I think, honestly, this is to just, I'll come back to it in a second, I'll get this poll out of the way. 68% of the respondents we had on Twitter said that they would select option three, which is taking external investment for losing a percentage share of votes, or a percentage above the 25% that is already part of our structure. So that does seem to be the most popular option amongst the fan base. But as we've said, it needs to pass a certain threshold to actually be put into place. And if it doesn't meet that threshold, then that won't happen. And then we're looking for other avenues to raise this money that we don't have. Anyway, but that whole thing about the threshold and the percentages of who, it's all these sorts of things that I think is why people don't engage with the Dons Trust process. Like we said about the £11 million vote we had September.
Well, Lee Rumbelow, in response to the poll, you had a few responses to the poll. Lee Rumbelow said, reluctantly, I'd go for investment, but I'd want due diligence. This is what we were talking about earlier, of course. No fly-by-night with pie-in-the-sky ideas that would get us into bigger trouble than we're already in. Also, the trust must keep 51% minimum. Kevin Chatfield responded to that and said, I would agree. To be honest, the bigger majority DT has, the happier I would be. If the DT only had 50% plus one, it would not take many fans to vote with investors when they brought forward proposals that the DT might be against to them, a simple majority in favour.
I just don't know. I don't know if an investor that's going to put that much amount of money in not to have the majority control.
Well, you don't get rich by giving your money away, do you? That's the thing, is it? So We know as rich Wimbledon fans, you know, there's a gentleman who basically puts all his money into the Don's Trust draw and wins regularly. Not surprised amount of tickets he buys. But I suppose we had the crowdfunding and, you know, the £2.5 million we made. But there wasn't really enough there to probably get someone to really put some serious money in. It really depends who it is. You know, years ago we had Darrell Anthony, who went to Peterborough. He was interested. And we turned it down flat. But if you look at what he's done at Peterborough, I love the model at Peterborough. I absolutely love it. And we turned him down straight. And I know it was many years ago when this wasn't really an issue. But I think we need to know who it is. We need to know what their values are. Are they Wimbledon fans? What are they going to do? You can never, the problem is you can never trust once they've got a controlling stake. Or, you know, I don't know if they're going to take 49%. But at the moment, we need to know who they are. We need to see them. We need to hear them. And then it makes it a bit more real, because at the moment, all we know is they're investors. We don't know who they are.
Mm. And of course, like I said on the podcast on Friday.
Yeah.
An understandable issue that many people are going to have with this, of course, is the fact that we could sell these voting rights, however much percentage, to other people, whatever, other investors. And in a year's time, they run into some sort of difficulty and they're looking to offload to somebody else. And we don't know who that is and we have no say in that anymore. So I get it. It's just, like I said, it's a horrible situation to be in. And I don't know. As long as whoever, if we decide to sell, if we do, if that's what happens, if the vote goes through and external investment is accepted and we lose, the Dons Trust loses a majority of the votes or whatever, I just hope we don't get some crazy mad cap owner that's going to sack managers like Watford do every other week.
Well, this is the fear, isn't it? And actually, I have to admit, I did expect there to be slightly more interaction online today, but Mark Hendricks has come up with a point that I suppose is quite valid. I'd be interested to see what you guys think of this. He said, I reckon there will be lots of listeners, yet very few engaging, because mm-hmm. they don't want to openly say how they feel about selling up.
Yeah, who's the loudest side on the Brexit debate? Mm. The Leavers or the Remainers? Mm. It's the Remainers. And I think you're going to find the same here. I think the people that think that we need to accept the external investment and sell up, I think they will be the quieter ones. And I don't think they will be so forthcoming, because this club's been built on 17 years of fan ownership and they don't want to go against that culture.
Yeah, and we've approached it. You know, I've been honest, since probably about 3 or 4 years, I felt the money was... How far do you go with a fan's own club? You know, we go into... Like last season, you know, Luton were spending loads of money, Charlton spent loads of money, Sunderland spent more on their agent fees than we spent on our budget. That's crazy when you think about it. So it's not saying that we should challenge for the top of League One, but how, you know, if we're going to move into Plough Lane, how do you then sustain that? Because I've seen clubs like Chesterfield get a new ground, go through the leagues. Torquay have gone down the leagues. You've got York. We used to have competitive games with York and they're now in a Conference North. Mm. I know they're going to move into a new ground, but if you go to York, it's a big place and they've got a lot of history. And I just think, we need to be sensible about this. Yeah, you know, I hear on social media about we're selling out, and that's the problem. The Brexit thing, not to go on too much about it, but you're right. you know, people are frightened to say what they're frightened to say. I've been honest, and I'm happy to say what I think, because I really truly believe that. But the Don's Trust meeting is going to be interesting. As we said earlier, you know, they very much have said that we should get external investment. So they've got to really put up a good show on the 9th and really convince us why that is. You know, it's not like putting a paper there saying how bad we're going to be, but we need to see these investors and see what they're about.
But I also think, in terms of balancing out, though, we need more information about the investment opportunity that is out there or allegedly out there, how many perhaps people there are involved in it, how many different offers there might be. I think the other options also need a little bit of fleshing out. They're still somewhat vague as well from what we've got so far. We've talked about a shell of a stadium with 4,000 capacity, or a 4,000 stand with 4,000 seats. We don't know what that means for the other three stands. Will there just be nothing there at all? Will there be some capacity there for standing? We don't know. Or I don't know what this, because then we come into issues about standing and all the reasons we were told over the last 5 years why we couldn't have a terrace, because we'd lose all sorts of grants and funding and what have you. So we don't know that. We've been told that if we have to go into the shell of a stadium, which will still cost us a lot of money, that we still need financing for because we're still short. We're told that that would leave us with a very, what's the phrase, uncompetitive budget. What's that? What does that actually mean? Does that mean relegation from League One and League Two and into non-league? Or is that presenting us with the worst case scenario? There's just so many things that need a little bit more detail. Whatever happens, if you imagine you're on the Don's Trust board right now, or you're Joe Palmer right now, and the amount of work you're having to do, and the amount of work that will be going into just answering that open letter that went out with all those questions, 8 of those people are volunteers. It can't carry on like that. You can't be dealing with these sums of money, this level of, this amount of work, really, on people that are having to, that have their own jobs to look after, their own families to look after,
this
their own lives to deal with.
It's a huge business undertaking, isn't it?
It is absolutely massive. And whatever happens, once we get through this and get over this in whatever form that is, we're going to have to look at that, because that's just... I know these people put themselves up for election and we thank them so much for doing it and donating their time, but there comes a time we just think, is this the most sensible thing? I haven't thought that since we've been in the Football League, to be honest with you. I think it's far too much pressure on people to volunteer their time to do this.
Okay, this is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. We are halfway through.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
The AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the slightly tired guys from the 9 Years podcast. I won't lie to you. This is an intense hour here on Love Sport, speaking to the guys from the 9 Years podcast. Glad to say some of the weight is going to be lifted now, fellas, because we have a caller. Tim from Tunbridge Wells is on the line. How are you doing, Tim?
Yeah, hi, good evening, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. What would you like to put to the fellas?
Well, I'm just a bit confused about the rush into this, really. Well, we have some money. We have, £15 million, £20 million? Is it from Merton Catalyst? I'm not sure of the exact figures. I don't have them in front of me. But I'm just a tad confused about this, why we have to rush into a decision now when... If we're committed to building this stand, presumably we have some money to make some progress with the facility. And if we have to add temporary stands, have to add further bits to it later on, and we've got potentially more time beyond August 2020, Chelsea have made noises, or so it's reported, that they could allow us more time. I'm just not sure why we are being forced. Some may say railroaded into this decision, that I believe that this is the best that those that running the club could come up with. So they panicked, they did the crowdfunding, they had a chat with these guys, these businessmen who we don't know who they are, and it's almost like this is all they've got. So why are we being forced into this? Why can't we step back and say, hang on, we've got some money, we may have a bit more time. Let's have a look at what other options may be on the table, rather than being forced down this path. And this is what I don't quite... I don't think enough people are questioning whether these options on the table are all we've got. We've just been dictated. But we're in control. We're a fan-owned club. So why do we have to accept what one or two people at the you know, the club's saying, essentially. This is what I don't quite understand. So there's lots of there as a sort of questions and a bit of a rant too, but I just got a lot. Don't quite understand the rush when we do have some money and we apparently could have some more time.
Yeah, I think, Tim, there's lots of questions you asked there. I
think sorry.
No, not at all. But I think there's a couple in there that I think we're all asking. We don't necessarily have answers to. I think in terms of the timing of it, I think this is to do with the idea, and this, I don't know, this is going to sound, because it's trying to figure out in my head as well, logically, if this makes sense. But apparently we're told, so the contractors need to know that the money's going to be in place by January for them to continue. And we have said that the idea of postponing or delaying or potentially, I mean, mothballing the project is just not an option for various reasons, including the fact that then, depending if we delay, then costs just will continue to creep up and up and up and up, and we'll still need more and more money after that. So I think the time of it and trying to get a decision made as quickly as possible is to ensure that the costs don't escalate even further above what they are now. I think we probably should have seen this coming a little while ago and a lot earlier than we have. The only
things gone wrong.
The only optimistic thing I can sort of perhaps suggest is that we know that the Don's Trust board met on Wednesday, and from what we've heard, things have come from that, you know, potentially have shed light on other options as opposed to the ones that are sort of in black and white at the moment that could be looked into. And as I say, it's a movable feast. We don't know what might come up over the next 7 days, but prior to the meeting on the 9th, sorry. But yeah, you're right. It does feel like it's all of a sudden come to us and out of the blue, and we're suddenly having to be forced to make huge, biggest decisions in the history of the club.
Yeah, and hi, Tim. It's Stuart here. It's interesting, isn't it? Because when they talked about the 4,000 stand that would be an empty shell, you know, initially we were going to put hospitality in there, a bar. It's going to look, you know, if you look at the designs, it was like an IKEA lounge, wasn't it? It looked lovely. But they also said that we would need it for a 4,000 seater stand. It would cost us £22 million. That's a hell of a lot of money for a 4,000 stand as such. It's going to be a shell. So I think the costing is. I think the costing has increased. I don't know whether we've been. And I think Nick said earlier we've been advised badly. But you're right. You know, the frustrations and the questions you have. I think we all have. And I think we're a bit confused now why we're £11 million short, and are there other options? I think the crowdfunding was probably a bit of a sign when we looked for £7 million, and I think we all thought £7 million was pretty optimistic. And I think we just, you know, the £2 million was the, you know, in terms of we need to get over £2 million. I think we got close to £2.5 million, but we didn't get the big investors. I think Nick and I were saying on the podcast that we thought it was once we hit the £2 million, we were then going to get the big players. So we know we've got people like John Green and people like that, and, you know, we're never going to put money in. But it doesn't look, you know, it's anonymous, a lot of them, but it doesn't look like we did have the big players. And the big players are the ones that are now going, well, I will invest, but actually I want a bit more than just what you're prepared to give me on the crowdfunding.
The other thing.
Yeah, it's funny that, though, isn't it? It just sounds a bit that this has been brewing a while, and it's not clear to me if this is a sort of panic measure, or could possibly been the plan all along. It's just a bit. The timing is very strange. Either it's incompetence, to be honest, by Eric Samuelson and his successor Joe Palmer, or this is the plan all along, and this is the timing of the most absolute opportune moment where to force this through. It's dodgy, isn't it? I mean,
I think
there wouldn't to be a conspiracy theory about it, but this is the most opportune time to force this through if you wanted to do that. So, I'm with you. I didn't ask enough questions, and I don't think us fans, all of us, we've just been happy to just sit tight and trust, be far too trusting of the trust. And I think things have, whatever happened, if we do remain a fan-owned club, we'll have to change the governance and I don't like the Don's Trust board and the football club board being set. Why do we have this sort of two, I don't understand that, why that structure is in place. Why don't we have a single board with Don's Trust elected members on it? We have a football, and we have club directors, and they're working together and they're talking together. Because I've just got this feeling that the current structure is too—it's Joe Palmer and Mark Davis—and it's too easy for them to sort of work.
Oh, I believe we've lost Tim there, sadly. Oh, Tim has gone. Raised some very valid points, though. Sorry, go on, Stuart.
No, he's right. And I think that's, Tim's a typical a fan who's confused.
Yeah.
Confused. And, we're being made to make a decision that's really a big decision. And it's like, here you are. Get as much information as you can. We don't know much. And we're a bit confused. And, it's a bit of an opportune moment. But we've got to make that decision, isn't it, Steph?
There's so much in what Tim said there. I mean, first of all, I just want to say, I think conspiracy theory. He said it. Well, I was going to say that. It sounded like a lot of conspiracy theories. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, there's any conspiracy involved here. I do think there's just been. I think, in keeping with what AFC Wimbledon has done since 2002, I think, and people might be upset if I say this, but it has felt like we've flown by the seat of our pants a lot of the time. And we've got to where we are without ever having actually stopped and concretely worked things out, as opposed to long-term strategic planning. We had a long-term aim, which was Football League back to Wimbledon. We had a plan of spend money on the football field to get us up. God, what do I sound like? I don't sound like a football fan at all. I say, spend money on the football field. Spend money in the squad, in the budget and what have you, to get us up the divisions. And we started to artificially inflate the playing budget there with some donations and what have you that isn't sustainable over the long term. So we're guilty of that. And I think that's what happens. If you don't have that strategic planning in place, you get to the stage where, you are going to appoint a manager and sack him 84 days later. And this is what we're in the situation with now. What was interesting as well, the governance going forward, should we maintain the model as we've got now because financing comes in, whatever else elsewhere? Does the 8 volunteer Don's Trust board members work? Do we integrate it with the football club board? I kind of think we have to look into that and see how it works. We need more bodies. We can't. The football club board is 3 people.
Yeah.
How do you run on a 3-person board? It's just impossible. And Joe Palmer, I know that he mentioned there about potential incompetence on Ericsson, Joe, whatever. I wouldn't go that far. I think to be honest with you, Joe came in like as CEO. He took over in January.
Yeah.
I think he's been firefighting since then, to be honest with you. I just think he's been trying to salvage things. I think it's make the best out of a bad situation.
Okay, just going to read out a couple more messages that we've had in. One from Stuart Larkman, who said Terry Brown called it a number of years ago. The glass ceiling has been reached. In fairness, it has for a while. It's not so much a case of writing a new chapter. It's time for a new book. And we've had a WhatsApp in from Nick as well, who said the same thing, simply. Not you, Nick. Oh, another
right.
Nick.
So I was going to say, I was like, blimey.
He said the mess that has emerged this week is indication that we've reached the limit. He said the same thing. We should take massive pride in it. He's gone on to say that he agrees with Nick and that an investor will definitely want overall control. But as a Don's Trust member, I would insist we put safeguards in place, such as permanent seats on the board and a veto over any future owner. He also went on to say that he wants his money. He wants my money contributed to the crowdfunding to be returned if the club goes with options 3. Because he says, I chipped in on the basis we were making an effort as fans to make the new stadium happen.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Terry Brown, I remember Terry Brown very well saying, enjoy the journey, non-league. Because sometimes, and I look back at it now and I think he was spot on because we had to enjoy the journey. We went into League Two and, Terry Brown left after getting into League Two. But have we enjoyed it? I don't know. That's why I don't want to go back down that way. Mm. The crowdfunding is an interesting point because, we all put money in, whatever money we put in. If an investor does go in, then what happens to that £2.5 million? That's a really interesting point. I don't know where the Don's Trust board go with that because that has been raised a couple of times already.
Yeah, a few people have said that they would want their money back if the club was to sell out to an external investor. So it's a bit of a can open, worms everywhere situation.
What I would say, though, very quickly, we're talking about Joe Palmer. I spoke to Joe on Saturday before Gillingham game. We're getting well with Joe and said how he looked. To be fair, Joe is, he looked tired. I'll be truthful. He looked absolutely shattered. And I said, I generally wanted to know about it. I said, how are you getting on? How much time are you spending on the ground? And he said, probably 95% on the ground. That's crazy.
Wow.
So we have a club, and, we've said this many times before, we have a non-league setup in a football league. If you go to King's Meadow, you'll see we've got a really small office of our administration staff who do a great job. But whenever we got an FA Cup draw, I remember we've got Liverpool and the Tottenham game, fans would moan that, we can't deal with this. But we can't. We're a non-league setup. So we're a non-league setup who's trying to get a football club at a new ground. Is it a real surprise that we're struggling? We've achieved the impossible, but it's only so far you can go with that. And that's where I think we're now starting to suddenly realise it's not as straightforward as we think.
No, I did say, chats, we were going to talk about football in the last segment. Of course, game against Bolton coming up, and Doncaster, like you say, a lovely story from your end as well, Stuart, on that Doncaster game. But we have had more tweets and some messages, so we'll decide in the ads if we go to them. Yeah, AFC Wimbledon fan show here on Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
It's the AFC Wimbledon fan show here on Love Sport. We've got about 10 minutes to go. We were going to focus on upcoming football matters, but it's too big a topic, so we are going to continue down this theme that has taken up around 48 minutes of the show so far. I've got a couple more tweets here for you guys. One in particular on the statement. I thought this one was quite interesting. This is from Dan. He said, what do you guys think of the last sentence in the statement? The choice is yours, as it should be. It was also quite interesting, wasn't it, the way that it finished, and I alluded to this earlier, that it was like no other statement I'd ever read, where it said, so, this is where we currently stand. And like they said, the choice is yours, which is exactly how it should be. Dan is arguing that maybe is this a case of setting fans up to take the can long term?
Well, we had a podcast this week, and that really did rattle my cage when I read that, because it felt like the choice is yours. We had a laugh, like a blind date, the choice is yours. You've got three people to choose from behind a wall and you don't know who they are. But when they said it should have been, this is how it should always have been, that felt a little bit, I wasn't pleased with that, because we haven't had any say in this. Mm. As I started off in, you know, we discussed earlier, we had no say on, do we want what we need, a 20,000? Do we want a 10,000? Do we want a 6,000 with all the mod? You know, did we have a choice with that? And it did feel a little, I just think the communication, one of the big things we've always come out about communication is the Doncaster board don't do it very well. And they've admitted that. And they've also had people that come on the board with manifestos saying that they would improve that. But you've got to be so careful when you write things, because that line did rattle my cage a little bit, you know, and that's the thing I took out of it. Well, yeah, the choice is yours. Do you want your club to die, or do you want your club to get investment? It feels that way, you know.
Almost a bit like, there you go, go on in. Make up your minds. Come on.
And it is our responsibility. We're Doncetrust members, but ultimately the Doncetrust board are there to protect it. And it, yeah, I've already said to people that I know on the Doncetrust board, you know, just be careful what you communicate, because this is a very emotive subject. And I'm not surprised that's been picked up, because I did.
Yeah, I mean, the only, no, there's a few things I want to pick up on that one. First thing I want to say is, actually, do you know with Blind Date, they actually used to say, apparently, because I was looking for this for the podcast, but he used to say the choice is yours, but no, I could only ever find him saying the decision is yours, which I assume was some sort of politically correct way.
Are we
of going
talking about Newt? Because I'm thinking Cilla Black.
Yeah, I am.
You're talking about Graham with our
reminder. He used to. Right. I swear he used to say the choice is yours. But apparently, when I look back, all he ever said was the decision is yours, which I think they meant sort of decision as opposed to choice. I don't know. Anyway,
it's worrying,
that's
actually,
by the by.
It's worrying you watched it to look back.
I was on YouTube trying to find audio clips for the podcast.
It is decision. When I think about him saying it out now, it's definitely the decision is yours.
Yeah, but I always just remember it as the choice is yours. Anyway, moving on.
Happier times.
Yes. I mean, like Stu says there, not being asked about the stadium capacity or anything like that, I go back to the original. And we've got the Back in Two Ticks document here with the picture of the stadium that we said many years ago that we should stop using, because it's not going to look anything like
that. With Quezzy on it as well, remember.
With Quezzy Appiah on it, yeah, running. And Liam Trotter running. And that's never going to happen. I don't know if you've seen that map. That looks an amazing and fantastic stadium. Mm. And I think that's when I talk about us being ill-advised, because for the prices that we were first referenced, it was never going to happen. It was never going
to
happen.
But how has that been allowed then? How have we managed to get to that situation where that has been the dream that's been sold, which,
pass,
like you said, was unrealistic?
Pass. I think somebody said to us when we first looked into it, you'll be surprised at how cheap this can be done. And we've just accepted it. And it was never going to be that way. Despite, I know all the delays that have added millions to the project, but that does not change the fact that that was always out of our price range.
And that was always used on social media.
Always.
I think it's only just stopped probably over the last six months. Yeah. And we kept saying, you can't keep putting this picture. We did have a laugh because it did have Quezzy in the new stadium, which ain't going to happen. Definitely ain't going to happen now anyway. But we did keep saying, you can't keep putting that picture, because it's not going to be like that. You know, don't get me wrong, that's an all singing and dancing stadium. I'm quite happy for just a better King's Meadow. You know, I went to Plough Lane, I think I left when I was 15 years old, and I can't wait to go back. It doesn't have to be that thing, you know, I just want to go home, you know, and I think that's where I am now. I'm like, we need to go home. Why have we got to this stage now where that dream is now becoming a nightmare?
Okay, one more tweet, and then we are going to focus on the game next weekend. Kieran Johnson, I can't see how anyone would pump money into, and my computer's completely flitched. There we go. I can't see how anyone would pump money into a club and not attain full control of it. I just don't see the 51-49 scenario as a realistic option.
No, I don't, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, we don't know, but we are told that these people unveiled or revealed themselves whilst we were trying to get them to put money into the crowdfunding, they were never going to put the money into the crowdfunding because they were going to get nothing out of it. They clearly want to put more in because they want to get something out of it, as you would do. And I think that's where we're at now. I think it really is a case of it's going to be over 50%. How far over that 50%? I don't know. But I think they'd probably look for a reversal. It's 75-25 at the moment. I think they'd look to flip it, if not more.
Yeah.
Okay, right, chaps. We're going to move on. Yeah?
Football.
Let's move on. Football, football, football.
Watford lost again.
A massive game next weekend, gents. Travelling to Bolton.
Bolton Wanderers. Yes, we hope we don't slip up at Bolton.
That's an old joke.
So
yeah.
That's an old joke. Yeah. Yeah. It might be the last. We have got how many games before? Like, we've got about half a dozen games, I think.
Yeah, it's a big December.
It's massive, yeah.
I know we're trying to get away from the stadium things, but everything's interlinked. I think we go down this season now because I think in January we see players leaving. Now, whether they initiate that or whether we look to cash in on players, I think we'll see players leaving. I think how many players we've got out of contract that we're going to lose anyway at the end of the season because we're going to look to trim our budget, whatever happens. I think if you can try and get some money. Wagstaff's, Wordsworth's, I don't know, but we've got to. I can't see it. Players are going to want to leave because there's so much insecurity. So
you have to wonder how it's going to affect them. I think we go to Bolton. I think it's a tough game. Bolton seem to be picking up. They've been very smart actually because their front two are, I think, in their late 30s and stuff. They've gone for experience.
Brought back down to earth last weekend, though, weren't they, Accrington?
Yeah, but Accrington isn't.
Yeah,
all Accrington the best teams to do that. Accrington. I love Accrington. It's a great place. It's a tough game for us because our waveform's terrible. So how does Glyn get them going? You know, the reverse psychology could be, you know, go and play out for the fans. Don't let it affect you. It's a massive game. You know, Bolton are not really going to catch us, but we need to keep our head above the drop zone really because it. In the window, I get what you're saying, but no player's going to come to a club that are in the bottom three. If we can keep ourselves out of it. It sort of says we've got a plan because we do need to get players in. We're probably going to be loans, if I'm being honest with you. I need to try and keep Michael Force. But it's a tough game, Bolton. It's a tough game. And I'll take a point now. If you offer me a point, I'll take it going into Doncaster.
Doesn't it show you, though, like how last season, everything about what was going on and us staying up on the last day and the Great Escape and everything like that, and then just like that, it's all just putting massive, massive perspective for us because we're back. It feels like we're back in 2001, 2002 again. It does feel like that to me. It feels so deflating because you just don't know what the future holds. And now, what's sort of going on what will happen about it? It just seems like a sideshow. It's not important.
It's
a horrible place to be in.
To concentrate is difficult. I'll be truthful. I've not looked too much. I remember I saw some videos come up of Glyn and interviews with Rob McDonald who come back.
And Ross Grove as well. Yeah.
But I'll be truthful. I didn't really want to listen to it because there's more than just what's on the pitch at the moment, and that's really sad when that's coming that way.
Because we were formed, sorry, Matt.
No.
We were formed under those famous words of Chris Stewart, I just want to watch some football. Not necessarily. Nothing more than that. AFC Wimbledon was formed pretty much with those two things in mind, to keep the name of Wimbledon alive and just so we can come watch some football. So the fans ownership thing starts to, there's all sorts of questions around that now.
Well, okay, fellas.
On that happy note, sorry.
I'm sorry, cheer me up.
I know, I try my best.
Gents, it's been great having you in. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your opinions. Everybody else, thank you for getting in touch with us on Twitter, WhatsApp, of course. We can't wait to hear from you next week when, hopefully, the Dons travel to Bolton and get that win in League One. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.